A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
And in Career 360, we have a look at the manpower sector here, also your career and lifelong learning. Now, the radical shift that has become the modern workforce is that today, contracting and non-employee talent are a core of the working population. Peter Oreb, CEO of CXC Global, has seen it all. He tells us how businesses and workers can roll with the punches. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Howie. Great to be here.
This radical shift we're talking about, it's not per se surprising. It's been coming, hasn't it?
No, it's been coming for the last 10 to 15 years and most predominant in the last 5 years. If we look at organisations across the globe, the US and the Americas are really leading this particular phenomenon. Up to 40% of organisations' workforces today in the US are non-permanent or contracting and freelancing. There's many different terms that's being used. If we look at other regions across the globe, such as Europe, they're a little bit behind the curve there. They're about 20 to 30%. Australia is where my home country is, and I just moved from Singapore seven months ago. They're sitting about 20% of the, on average, of workforces there. And Asia, I've been extensively travelling in Asia for the last 3 to 4 years, and they seem to be a little bit behind. And I think it may be the cultural aspect and influence, and, you know, stay in a permanent job from the parents and the grandparents. But in terms of Singapore, on average, I think the workforces are sitting at about the 5 to 10% on average of organisations. So there's quite a big difference there.
Half almost.
Yes, absolutely. And I think if we look at some more of the progressive organisations in the States, they're realising today in order to stay competitive and agile, we're going to shrink down our core employee set and look to basically import key skills from many different sectors to be able to innovate the business innovate products and to stay competitive. And it also allows organizations to be very agile, to be able to flex up and down based on market demands.
What's driving that? Just to cut costs or...
That's a great question. In terms of what's driving that, I think some of the key components of the change is there's always going to be an influence for companies and a drive to improve profitability and return to shareholders and also to remain competitive and agile. But I think the three key major areas that are impacting this rise of the contingent workforce or contract workforce is broken down by the worker and the workplace. So if we look at work, traditionally work, if we look 10, 15 years ago, the common job was quite extensive. And if you think about it, it was from A to Z. Today, a lot of organisations are saying, well, we're going to cut that permanent job into multiple different sections, and we'll get skilled people to come in and do A to C and different people to come in and do different aspects. So I think the work predominantly is really changing. And as the industry gets bigger and more complicated, technology is having a huge impact on this as well. Projects, a lot of organizations to remain competitive and agile and innovative are pulling in projects, and they realize, well, it's much quicker and easier for us to deliver and execute on those projects than pulling in or increasing our permanent headcount. So they're using contract workers there. In terms of the worker, you've got a number of demographics in the marketplace today, the Gen Zs, the Gen Ys, the Gen Xs, and the baby boomers. And each of those are having a contributing factor into the increase of the contingent workforce. So baby boomers, they're not ready to retire yet, but they've been in the workforce for quite some time. And they're saying, well, okay, I might go and utilize my skills and consult my services to organizations. If we look at Gen Xs, they might, like myself, been in the workforce to 20-odd years, and they're saying, well, now's the time for me to really earn some big dollars, so I'm going to utilize my skills, and where can I make the biggest income increase? It's in contracting, professional contracting. And then, of course, the Gen Ys, I don't think they know what a permanent job is, a lot of those guys, and they're obviously wanting experiences. They want to work in different cities, different countries, a permanent job for them is not ever really permanent. They're looking at, 1 to 2 year experiences. And so, they're the kind of big shifts from a worker point of view. And then if we look at the workplace, that's also radically changing. The workplace is becoming more fragmented. The ability for organisations to engage and manage and pay contract workers is allowing them to essentially have workers anywhere around the world. I know you've had a number of interviews in the past with co-working spaces, and you know, there's a huge rise in those and organisations using those, and it allows them to really radically flex their workforces around the world, and working from home and having a flexible and working environment, you know, works for the businesses because it reduces their costs in terms of, you know, having manned office space, but also it works well with the demographics of the workforce.
But it's sounding like if you need to handle a whole bunch of part-time workers, if you will, contract workers, it makes it even more fragmented, makes it even more challenging to sort of keep it all together.
Yes, and look, you know, on a daily or weekly basis globally, we've got now offices in over 30 countries. And so we're constantly talking with predominantly the large multinational corporations about what are the challenges that they're having in terms of managing their workforce. And a lot of them, you know, first and foremost is, you know, there needs to be awareness. A lot of them aren't even aware and across this kind of shift that's happening. And a big challenge that we're having when we're talking to these large corporations is they don't have anyone owning who's going to own the strategy around how we're going to plan for the workforce for the future. And because that's the case, a lot of the times that businesses actually have the contingent workforce or the freelance workforce managed and owned by the hiring managers or the business unit managers. And with that is a whole lack of decentralized processes and visibility, a real lack of visibility. So in some of the largest companies in the world, we time and time again go in there and we talk to them and we ask them just a very simple question. How many workers do you have? Where are they? What are they doing? What are they costing you? And they can't answer the question.
Mm. So that's getting challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We, you know, I think what needs to happen is more CEOs, boards need to put a priority on what are they going to do about planning for the workforce future, because it is changing, and putting in place strategies.
It's a given.
Yes.
This is the way it's going to be.
Absolutely, so you best... It's not going to reduce.
Okay.
It's going to continue to increase.
So let's go back a bit and talk about some of the sensibilities that the different generations have. You mentioned you're Gen Xer, so am I. I cannot wrap my head around this. Bit difficult. I've been at the same job a couple of decades already. So it's hard for me to think. And you said that some Gen Xers, perhaps like yourself or the baby boomers, are looking to see where else they can go and what else they can do. The other generation of workers are embracing this as well, you're seeing. They are able to.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So I think it's ingrained in the kind of DNA of a lot of the Gen Zs and Gen Ys that they are going to be a lot more open to take on contract work than what probably the Gen Xers and the baby boomers. So as they become a bigger proportion of the workforce, I think naturally that's going to have almost a catalyst effect on rising of that contingent workforce sector.
From a worker's perspective, it's best to get on it as well.
Yes.
You're saying this is the way it's headed.
Yeah,
you can't fight
absolutely.
It anymore.
So
okay.
I think, yeah, so from some of the, you know, professional contract workers that we speak to and deal with on a regular basis, you know, the ones that have probably been most successful are those that, you know, have almost mapped out their career and they said, okay, well, this is where I am today. This is where I want to be. These are the skills that I need to learn. And this is the earning potential that I have. This is the various industry experiences I want to, you know, to have in my CV. And those that are actually planning for their careers, are the ones that are really having probably the most significant increase in their earnings potentials, and those that are really looking at how do I increase my network of contacts, whatever it is, attend networking events, attend you know, business lunches, whatever it might be. But there's a lot of online communities as well that are popping up left, right, and center. And there's also this very big shift happening around the rise of online market platforms. And that's probably some of the biggest trends that have happened in the last kind of 12 to 24 months, is the ability for workers to find work anywhere in the world by populating their profile, their details on these online market platform. And what we're finding is this is really really making quite a you know, disruption, a big impact into the traditional recruitment market. And the feedback that we're getting from a lot of corporations is that We want to reduce our spend on recruitment agencies. We want to leverage our brand that we have out there. There are fantastic tools, recruitment tools and online tools that we can utilize to be able to find these workers ourselves and make sure that they're aware of what the company culture's like and attract the right people. So, you know, I predict, and there's obviously a lot of people with the same views, is there's going to be a massive disruption within the whole traditional recruitment market. It's already happening in the States. I think Asia is going to take a little bit more time to get across just because of you know, the cultural views.
But, the iron rice ball mentality.
Yeah, that's right. The changes are definitely happening, and, you know, make it a point to travel to many countries, 10 to 20 to 30 a year, attend many, many events, and the main leading industry events in the States and Europe. And these trends are definitely confirmed with a lot of the market research and what clients are saying out there.
What's this going to do to business culture, though? It'd be hard to engage a team if that team changes every 6 months to instill loyalty, to instill that sense of vested interest.
I think that's an interesting point. You know, permanent employees generally see themselves in, you know, being loyal to the business, putting in their heart and soul to be able to produce the right outputs. But there's also been a number of studies out there that saying, well, contingent or contract workers are actually more productive and more engaged than what traditional permanent workers are. Look, I think there's both sides to the story. There's no one right or wrong. But you know, having clarity about what the deliverable is, what the project is, what needs to be achieved in a certain time frame gets everyone really focused on, you know, getting outcomes.
Let's go back a bit and talk about upping your skills to be able to work in this kind of gig economy. Mm. How can we do that? The pace of change is so quick. How do I know what's going to be suitable for me to pick up might not be obsolete tomorrow?
That's an interesting question, that one. There's you know, there's a huge radical shift happening with online education. I mean, traditionally, myself going to university, I attended all of the lectures face to face, and now, you know, online learning is the way of the future. And I think you know, a number of universities globally have kind of recognized this and have got some fantastic courses now online, and certification. There's so many different courses there out there, so I think it's online is where it's happening, to get up to speed as quickly as possible. You know, investment of your time into upskilling yourself is really crucial.
How have you kept up over time as Gen Xers? When we were kids, the paper came to the door. There were no smartphones. At the time, researching a project meant going to the Mouldy Library.
Absolutely. I think I'm struggling.
Oh, dear.
I'm definitely struggling.
You're embarrassing the kids, are you, like I am?
I'm struggling to keep up, as probably a lot of people in my generation and older. It's all about as much kind of online content that you can absorb, and I think, you know, nothing also beats getting out there, out in the field, talking to clients, talking to prospects, understanding what's happening within their businesses, and kind of taking all that in. I've also been a member of the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, which is a global entrepreneurs organization, for the last 8 to 10 years, and I get a lot of fantastic content and a lot of learnings from other business owners there as well.
Peter Oreb is CEO of CXC Global. You can check them out at cxcglobal.com to find out what they're doing. CXCGLOBAL.com. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Howie. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.